Krista Tomlinson, indie published romance author. Welcome to Blaze, a superhero romance podcast, where I read from book one in my Art City Guardians superhero romance series in weekly podcast format. I will also chat about the chapter at the end of each episode. Thank you so much for joining me. And now, let's begin. By night, he's Blaze, St. Louis's dark and powerful superhero. By day, he's Jordan Wells, a quiet mechanic. Jordan has accepted that it's his destiny to walk alone in the shadows until he meets Daniel, a sweet, untrained submissive. Jordan dreams of dominating the young man, finding respite from his harsh life as a vigilante by losing himself in Danny's loving submission. Danny Griffin is thrilled to attend an exclusive DS club where he meets Jordan, a sexy and experienced dom. Jordan is the perfect man to help him explore his submissive fantasies, but Danny is also attracted to Blaze, the elusive hero who is always there when he needs him. How can Danny choose which man to be with when he's wildly attracted to both? The passion between the hero and his lover is electric, but Jordan knows that in order to keep Danny safe from his enemies, he should let him go. Unfortunately, he can't seem to tear himself away from his lover's gentle smiles and soft kisses. Can Jordan risk a relationship with Danny when his life as Blaze puts the innocent man in danger? Chapter 1, An Electric Meeting. Danny tapped a nervous beat onto the steering wheel with his thumbs as he turned into a small parking lot. The yellow glow of street lamps lit the night, moths drawn by the light flitting beneath them. This lot was unattended and several blocks down from where he planned to go. But cars weren't allowed to park on the old cobblestone streets in this section of downtown St. Louis, and the lots closer to the club where he was headed were outrageously expensive. Since his used Altima wasn't worth stealing, and he didn't mind the walk, he should be okay parking this far away. Danny pulled into a spot near the front and stepped out onto the cracked asphalt. After locking the car, he tucked the keys into his shimmery, iridescent blue fanny pack, zipped it up, and set off. Butterflies swooped and fluttered in Danny's stomach as he walked. Tonight would hopefully be the start of a new and long-desired chapter in his life. He was about to check out one of the local BDSM clubs for the first time. After a year of researching and role-playing as a submissive online, he was ready to see the lifestyle up close and personal. He hoped he looked okay. He'd gone for what he jokingly labeled a soft BDSM look when choosing his outfit earlier that evening. A sheer white tank top with gold ribbon sewn on in a pattern that mimicked a chest harness, black booty shorts, and glittery blue ankle-low combat boots. His artist soul enjoyed color too much to go with the all-black style he often saw in fetish pictures online. There was a cute little choker he wanted to add to his outfit, but worried that it might give off the impression he was already in a relationship, he'd chosen a short gold chain with a handcuff pendant instead. As Danny passed low brick buildings with their windows dark and doors locked for the night, he reassured himself that he would be fine. The DS community was welcoming. No one would laugh at him for being a newbie. He hoped. It might have been helpful to bring a friend along, but this was something he preferred to do on his own. He wanted to walk into the stocks without worrying about making sure his friend was comfortable, or worse, being judged by them. That would be too much stress for his first public foray into kink life. His head down, Danny focused on his footsteps, one foot in front of the other, determinedly taking him to the place where he'd finally connect with others who had the same interest as him. The streetlights reflected off the shine of his boots, the twinkling glitter making him smile despite his nerves. When the glitter abruptly dulled in sudden darkness, Danny looked up in surprise. The streetlight above him was out, and so were the next several, all the way until just before the club. Danny slowed his steps, coming to a stop before he went too far past the last functioning light. During the day, this was a decent area, mostly commercial, with busy warehouses and small office buildings. But at night, it was a little sketchy. The dark alleyways between the old brick buildings could hide any manner of miscreants. Danny looked to the other side of the street where street lamps glowed, safely lighting the path forward. He considered crossing to the lit side, but felt silly being afraid of a dark street. Taking his courage in hand, he took several cautious steps forward into the darkness. Up ahead, something crashed to the ground, the sound ringing out in the quiet night with a loud metallic bang. Startled at the noise, Danny stopped again. Abruptly deciding being silly and alive was better than stupidly brave and dead, he moved across to the other side of the street. But before he could step off the sidewalk, Two men strolled out of the alleyway directly in front of him. Danny knew from the red vest they were trouble. Only members of the L Street Posse wore those vests. Both men were big, one bald, the other with long, sandy red dreadlocks. His heart pounding, Danny took a step back. Then another, and another. The two punks stood there watching him with matching evil grins on their scarred and bruised faces, but neither pursued. Danny understood why when he bumped into a wall of solid muscle. He whipped around and came face to chest with the big blonde woman, her pale hair tied in a top knot so tight the strands looked like they were about to be ripped from her scalp. "Where are you going, pretty boy?" she asked with a smug grin. Instinctively understanding that showing fear would make the situation worse, Danny tried to keep his voice firm and confident when he answered, "I don't want any trouble." He held his palms up and out to show they were empty, while wishing he had his pepper spray in hand. Too bad it was on his keychain, which was inside his fanny pack. He belatedly realized that had been a dumb mistake on his part. "And you won't get any, as long as you hand over your wallet and phone," she said. Swallowing hard past a thick knot of fear in his throat, Danny nodded. He reached down to open the fanny pack, but struggled with the zipper thanks to his shaking hands and refusal to take his eyes off the big blonde so that he could see what he was doing. "Let me help you with that." Danny spun back around when one of the punks behind him spoke, shrinking away when the man pulled out a switchblade and flicked it open with a menacing snick. Danny stood there, his fight-or-flight reflex stuttering over what to do, leaving him frozen as a result. The dreadlock punk came closer, getting right up in Danny's face to grab the fanny pack with his free hand. His bloodshot eyes stared into Danny's as he sliced up with the knife, cutting the strap so that it fell away from Danny's waist. The guy kept the blade open and tossed the fanny pack to his buddy behind him. "See what he's got in there." Danny could have told him he didn't have much. Phone, about $30 in cash, his driver's license, and his keys. The small bag wouldn't hold much more than that. "Take whatever you want." Knife guy had broken their uncomfortable eye contact to watch his friend rummage through the fanny pack. Now he looked back at Danny with an appraising glance, running those bloodshot eyes from Danny's face, over his chest, and down to his bare thighs. Disgust coated the back of Danny's throat at the leering perusal, and he was suddenly very aware that his nipples were visible through the sheer tank. "Whatever we want?" Knife guy asked in a voice as smooth and slimy as an oil slick. Danny should have kept his mouth shut. The ugly intent behind that tone was clear. He was now in more danger than only getting mugged. Thankfully, his fight-or-flight reflex finally made a decision, kicking his adrenaline into high gear. Danny turned, leaping off the curb into the street to take off running. His goal was a small diner a few buildings up on the other side of the street that looked to be open. His car was closer, but since they had the keys, there was no point in trying to get to it. The red vest hooted and laughed as they gave chase. Their glee increased Danny's terror, spurring him on to run faster until his foot slipped on one of the unevenly rounded cobblestones. He lost his balance, flinging his hands out to brace his fall as the ground came rushing up to his face. One knee hit the cobblestone with a loud crack, and a bolt of pain exploded out from the point of impact. Ignoring the pain in his knee and palms, Danny shot back to his feet, ready to keep running. But the red vest had already surrounded him, continuously moving, circling him like sharks before the feeding frenzy. "Where you going, huh?" the bald one asked in a mockingly cheerful tone. "Yeah, you said we could have whatever we wanted." The blonde behemoth put on a playful pout, but the expression quickly changed, her mouth twisting into a cruel snarl. "And we want to play with you, pretty boy." "Leave me alone," Danny shouted. Terror and anger gave strength to his usually quiet voice, sending it booming throughout the night. He didn't know how he was going to defend himself against three assailants, all bigger than him and armed with at least one knife, but he was damn sure going to try. Raising his fist, Danny got ready to swing at the first person who took a step toward him. Before anyone could make a move, however, electricity hummed in the air around them. The hair on Danny's arms rose just as a rush of air whooshed behind him. He turned, expecting to see the blonde woman coming at him, but she disappeared, her place in the circle empty. Danny looked back around to the other two. They looked scared, their eyes wide. "It's him," Knife Guy whispered. "Fuck, man, we need to get out of here." Baldy tugged at Knife Guy's arm, clearly ready to make a run for it. "Calm down," Knife Guy said as he shook off his friend. He scanned the darkness with narrowed eyes, looking for the new player on the scene. "There's two of us." He tossed that wicked long blade back and forth between his gloved hands. "We can take him." If Danny hadn't still been scared out of his mind, he would have grinned at the punk's mistaken belief. If it was who he thought it was, they absolutely could not take him. The three of them stood locked in their positions, the air tense and sharp as they waited. There was another rustle of air, then a ground-shaking boom as a man dressed all in black landed in a crouch between Danny and the punks. Danny's lips parted as he gasped in awe. It was him, the superhero, Blaze. He rose slowly, straightening to his full height, which had to be at least 6'3". A skin-tight suit clung to his muscular frame, the material stretched over wide shoulders and powerful thighs. There was enough light for Danny to make out the midnight blue logo on his chest, a B cut through by a jagged shard of lightning. His head, neck, and most of his face were covered by a cowled mask, leaving only the space from just beneath his nose down to his chin visible. Bright blue bolts of electricity started to crackle over his fist, dancing up and down his arms. He turned to face the two punks and raised a hand, beckoning them forward. "Let's go," he growled the arrogant taunt in a deep voice. Baldy dropped the fanny pack and charged at Blaze. Danny's belongings spilled out into the street, but he was too busy watching the ensuing fight to pick any of it up. Blaze moved fast as lightning, avoiding the flashing switchblade and shrugging off the few blows the two managed to land. His own fist struck with deadly precision, body shot after body shot, an elbow to the knife guy's jaw, a booted kick to Baldy's sternum. Baldy crumpled to the street, gasping and wheezing as the air punched out of his lungs from the explosive impact. He stayed down. Whether it was because he knew he was beaten or he simply couldn't move, Danny didn't know. But Knife Guy wasn't as smart. He staggered on his feet, but raised the knife high in the air. With a guttural yell, he charged at the hero. Blaze simply stood and watched him rush forward, his stillness a stark contrast to the punk's messy scrambling. When Knife Guy reached him, Blaze effortlessly caught his raised arm and squeezed. A ball of bright blue power transferred from Blaze to Knife Guy, traveling down his arm. Knife Guy screamed, his body dancing against his will from the force of the electricity flowing through him. The knife fell to the ground, followed immediately after by its owner when Blaze released his hold. Blaze stared down at his defeated opponents, the blue glow over his fists slowly fading into darkness. He grabbed Knife Guy by the back of his vest, dragging him along as he stalked forward to grab Baldy in a similar manner. One by one, he heaved them up against the front wall of a small warehouse, his muscles flexing with every move. The two sat there with their heads lolling, groaning and coughing. It was extremely gratifying to Danny to see them shrink back in fear when Blaze crouched down in front of them. "You get one warning. Leave the L Street posse. You won't like what I do to you if I catch you on the streets wearing these vests again." Baldy made his decision without hesitation. "Yeah, you got it." "I'm out too," Knife Guy said. They struggled out of their vests, Knife Guy removing his with one arm. Once they'd taken them off, they tossed them into the street in renouncement of the L Street posse. "Good," Blaze growled before he knocked their heads together. They slumped into each other, unconscious, and essentially leaving Danny alone with Blaze. His heart pounded as Blaze rose and approached him, although the reaction was no longer from fear. There were several superheroes in St. Louis. Danny had seen many of them, either on the news or in person if he happened to be in the right place at the right time. But Blaze was elusive, only fighting at night, never showing up when there was a crowd. He'd seen a few pictures of him, but they were always grainy and blurry since Blaze didn't stop to pose. And no one had any idea what he looked like, thanks to the mask that hid so much of his face. Seeing Blaze for the first time up close, huge and powerful, looming over his own meager 5'5", made the breath catch in Danny's throat. "Thank you. I would have happily given them my money to get them to go away, but things were about to get ugly." Blaze bent down to pick up the fanny pack and its spilled contents. He tucked everything back into the bag and handed it over. "What are you doing out here alone at night?" The question was asked in a growl nearly as fierce as when he spoke into the L Street punks. It should have cowed Danny, but now that he was no longer in danger, a little of his sass came back. "You're not about to victim blame me, are you?" "No, but safety should be your priority, and this area isn't safe." "I was going to the stocks. It's right up the street from where I parked, so I thought it'd be all right." "Inside that club isn't much better than the streets outside. Try Club Decadence. Better parking, lighting, and security." Danny knew of the upscale Diaz Club, but their membership fee wasn't something he could afford on his income as an emerging freelance artist. "Decadence is out of my price range. He said the words without shame. Facts were facts. The sound could have meant anything. Danny couldn't determine Blaze's expression from what little he could see of his face, and he couldn't read his eyes in the darkness and the shadow of his cowl. He couldn't even determine their color. Go home, Blaze abruptly ordered. Adrenaline drop is going to hit you soon. You need to be somewhere comfortable and familiar when it happens. A small thrill of excitement shivered through Danny at the directive to go home. Delivered in Blaze's deep, growly voice, it sounded like a command a Don would give to a submissive. He wanted that so much. To have it from Blaze would be... He bit his lip to hold back the undignified whimper that wanted to slip free at the thought of submitting to Blaze. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you again. Blaze nodded, the rest of him silent and still. With nothing else to say, Danny started back the way he'd come, staying on the lit side of the street. As he walked, he thought he felt eyes on him, watching his progress down the sidewalk, but that had to be wishful thinking. Blaze undoubtedly had lots of other superhero stuff to do. He wasn't hanging around to make sure a random mugging victim made it safely to his car. The man had more than likely already swooped off to stop the next crime. Danny turned and looked back over his shoulder anyway. There was nothing there. The street and sidewalks empty, save for the punks slumped against the building, enjoying their Blaze-sponsored naps. Danny reached his car, pressing the button on the key to unlock it as he had 100 times before. Once inside, he secured his seatbelt and started the ignition. But before he could put it in drive, his hands started shaking. He held them up, splaying them on the steering wheel. His stomach swirled with nauseous upset, too. Adrenaline dropped, exactly as Blaze had said. The fear response hormones drained out of him, and the throbbing pain in his knee and bruised palms rushed in to take its place. He'd been mugged, and much worse might have happened if Blaze hadn't shown up. He was damn lucky all he had was a ruined bag, scraped palms, and a banged-up knee. Danny closed his eyes, drawing deep breaths in through his nose and slowly letting them out through his mouth in an effort to calm down. After several long seconds of concentrated breathing, he was still shaking in the pit of his stomach, but settled enough to drive. Opening his eyes again, he finally popped the car into drive, pulled out of the parking lot, and headed for home. Blaze stood guard from the rooftop of a low building while the cute little sub made his way back to his car. It was unlikely he'd be attacked a second time. The streets below Blaze had eyes and ears, and thanks to the fight, his presence in the area was known to anyone who might think of starting trouble. Still, Blaze wanted to be sure he was safe. He didn't usually get personal with the people he rescued, but something about the young man called to him. He was adorable, with smooth, dark skin, short, wavy black hair, and big brown eyes that gave him an innocent air. But his mouth, with its perfect cupid's bow and lush bottom lip, was made for decadent kisses. Blaze's palms tingled and sparked as he imagined running his hands over the sheer tank the other men wore to feel the warmth of his skin beneath. And those little black shorts of his had displayed thick thighs and a perky ass that he would love to gently squeeze. The sub was obviously unattached. He'd been on his way to a DS club, but no Don would let an angel like that walk the streets of downtown St. Louis alone at night. If the boy were his, he'd spank that sweetly rounded bottom for putting himself in danger. Then he'd kiss and caress it to take the sting away and make it all better. But the boy wasn't his. He hadn't had anyone that belonged to him for a long time, and that was for the best. Down the street, headlights flicked on. A few minutes passed before glowing red taillights exited the parking lot, the car turning toward the highway. Blaze guessed he'd probably needed a moment to gather himself after his mugging. With the little sub safely headed home, Blaze turned his attention back to his task of patrolling the streets of St. Louis. He made a running leap onto the roof of the next building, tucking into a barrel roll to lessen the impact of his landing. 10 years ago, Anderson Pruitt had selected St. Louis as a location for a massive base of operations for his company. The campus included research and development, production, shipping, and more. But before he moved Pruitt Inc. in, he demanded an initiative to clean up the city. It might have made sense to focus on offering jobs, as high employment helped lower the crime rate. A solid paycheck, a safe place to live, and full bellies often took away the impetus for crime. But Pruitt had chosen instead to bring in a private militarized police force. Humans directed the force, but it made heavy use of artificial intelligence robotic police. People caught by the police bots often disappear without a trace. Sometimes they reemerge months later with no mention of a court date, refusing or unable to talk about what transpired during their absence. Sometimes they were never seen again. The Pruitt Initiative hadn't eliminated crime. It had stifled the city, however, turning once vibrant areas into near police states, where the citizens were caught between their fear of the bots and their fear of the criminals who had smartened up and organized in order to survive in the new regime. But tonight, the criminal element in this sector of the city was quiet. Over the next couple of hours, Blaze didn't run into any other crimes, petty or otherwise. Deciding to call it a night, he began making his way back toward his car. He was nearly there when he came across two young men standing in front of an ATM operated by Pruitt Bank. They had tools in hand, which made it unlikely they were making an honest withdrawal. Blaze sent forth a bolt of electricity powerful enough to scare the guys into jumping away from the machine. Shit, it's Blaze! The two tensed as if they were about to make a break for it. Blaze landed behind them before they could move. Don't even think about running, he said as he held up one glowing fist. Come on, man, it's Pruitt's money. Not like he's going to miss it, one of them said with a bitter curl to his lip. Stealing is stealing. Doesn't matter if you don't like the person you're robbing. Guess it don't matter if you're hungry either, the other chimed in dejectedly. Blaze took a closer look at the pair. Unlike the hardened muggers from earlier, these guys were young, their faces clinging to boyhood despite the wispy hairs trying to emerge on their chins. The resentment in their shadowed eyes struck a chord of empathy in Blaze's chest. He let the electricity crackling over his fist fade. There's a job fair this weekend. Go to it. Job fair? The first kid scoffed. Like anybody's going to hire us. Looking at the two youths, haggard and hunched, Blaze had to agree. Besides, if they were trying to rob an ATM because they were hungry, waiting to get a job, and then even longer for their first paycheck wasn't going to solve that immediate problem. Go to the red brick building on the corner of Kirk and 7th. Ask for Mrs. Kennedy. She'll feed you tonight and set you up with whatever else you need to get ready for the job fair. Kid number two looked at Blaze with narrow-eyed suspicion. Tonight? You mean you're letting us go and not turning us into the Peabots? Blaze crossed his arms over his chest. That depends on you. Are you going to try to rob another machine, or are you going to do like I said? We'll do it. We'll do it right now. Right answer, Blaze said. I know your faces and the area you run in, and I will check up on you. Believe me when I say you won't like it if I catch you trying to steal again. Do you understand? Yes, sir. The two nodded with near comical enthusiasm, their heads flopping back and forth like bobblehead dolls. Blaze acknowledged them with a small nod of his own. Then he sank down into a crouch, one foot slightly behind the other, gathering power to launch himself high into the air. He gave the kids below him a show, rising in a dramatic pose, the blue sphere of electricity around him burning bright against the backdrop of the night sky. It served as something to tell their buddies about, and an unsubtle reminder of his power. He traveled across several rooftops before dropping back down to the street where his car waited. Although he could jump 20 feet in the air and run faster than most humans, he wasn't a speedster. He couldn't fly either, so a car helped him navigate the city on his patrols. Although the big, electric blue Dodge Challenger sat unattended in an alley, Blaze didn't worry about anyone trying to steal it. His high-tech alarm shut down all systems when he wasn't inside. It also locked the wheelbase, rendering the car immovable. And anybody who touched the door handles would get the shock of their life. As he approached the car, it recognized the sensors on his suit and automatically unlocked. Blaze slid inside, disabled the rest of lockdown mode, and pressed the ignition button, bringing the ignition roaring to life. A quick shift into drive, and Blaze sped out of the alley, racing through the near-empty streets until he left the riverfront area behind. Taking one of the various routes he rotated through to keep anyone from tracking him, he headed home. After a few miles, he hit a button on the customized dashboard. Ahead on his right, the tree line opened up to reveal a narrow side road. He hooked a sharp turn and drove into the gap, the trees moving back into place behind him. Blaze streaked down the dark, one-lane road. As he passed over a section of pavement, the dash blinked, indicating a sensor on the undercarriage of the car had been activated. A section of the road detached, tilting down to a subterranean level. Blaze gunned it, his belly lifting as he swooped down the ramp that took him below ground. He continued down the tunnel for another mile, hurtling toward a wide, solid steel door. The car triggered another ground sensor, and the door slid open seconds before the Challenger slammed into it, immediately closing behind him with a solid thump. He slowed as the one-lane road gradually widened and ended in a large, high-ceilinged underground room. Blaze turned off the ignition, and the rumbling engine faded to silence. He stepped out, the slam of the car door echoing in the cavernous concrete space. The hour was late, and exhaustion pulled at his bones, but he still went to his computer to log in the details from the night's patrol. He spent a few moments cross-referencing the new data with his files to check for any escalating patterns or ties to major crime bosses that he needed to be aware of. The computer didn't show any results, so he shut it down and moved to take off his gear. Blaze tugged the cowl back, then removed his heavy, thick-soled boots. He carried the boots across the room to a glass-fronted wardrobe, the cold of the concrete floor seeping through his socks to chill the soles of his feet. The boots went inside the wardrobe, followed by his two-piece suit. The glass door slid shut with a hiss, and a second later, the specialized steam cleaner kicked on, the glass fogging over as it removed the sweat, grit, and blood from the armored suit. Naked except for a pair of tight-fitting boxer briefs, he strode over to the elevator, punching in a code on the lit keypad to summon it down to his level. Once he stepped inside, the elevator rose, swiftly taking him to the top level of the brick and glass building where he had the entire floor for his private apartment. He didn't bother turning on any lights. He moved through the dark rooms with ease on his way to the shower. 15 minutes later, he was clean, dry, and ready for a few hours' sleep. Clad in a pair of black, low-slung pajama bottoms, Jordan strode over to the floor-to-ceiling windows, his bare feet sinking into the plush carpet. From there, he could look out over a great deal of St. Louis. In the distance, the Gateway Arch rose, towering over the city, a beloved and beautiful monument. But the cold steel was immobile, lifeless, and unfeeling. The arch couldn't do anything to keep the citizens safe. It was up to him to help those in need. His thoughts returned to the guy he'd saved from a mugging earlier, Daniel Griffin. He'd seen his name and address when he picked up his driver's license from the street. There was one more thing he could do to help the young man out and hopefully keep him from returning to the rough area of the socks. He'd take care of it, then put the little sub out of his mind for good. An angel like that didn't need a man like him in their life. His role was to protect from the shadows so that people like Daniel could live in the light without fear. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed Chapter 1 of Blaze, and I hope you'll continue listening, but if you'd like to read ahead or try the other books in the series, The Arch City Guardians are available on Amazon and in Kindle Unlimited. You can also learn more about my sexy superheroes and their superpower stats and check out extra short stories on my website at KrissaTomlinson.com. The links for both will be below. Please be sure to subscribe to or follow the podcast to make sure you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for listening. And now, please stay tuned for a brief chat about Blaze, Chapter 1. Hey guys, thanks for hanging out for a few more minutes. I just wanted to kind of chat about Blaze, Chapter 1. First, this was actually an easy chapter for me to write, which isn't always the case with the Chapter 1, because it can be, you know, hard to decide exactly where to start a story. You don't want to start it too late, you know, because then it doesn't might not make sense to the reader. You don't want to start it too early and put too much boring back matter in there or backstory in there, and then people are bored and then, you know, they don't move forward. But I felt I knew exactly how I wanted these two to meet, like, since I knew exactly the type of person that I wanted Blaze and Danny to be as lovers, it made sense for Blaze to meet him in a rescue, to meet Danny in a rescue. So Danny, I knew who he was going to be pretty much from this first chapter. That doesn't always happen for me. Sometimes, like in Dr. Z, it might take me until the middle of the book almost before I really get a handle on the character. But with Danny, I knew from the beginning that I wanted him to be this kind of this soft, sweet character who's just, you know, kind of innocent and just nice and sunshiny. Whereas, you know, instead of another type of character that I was kind of considering for Blaze, because Blaze is a, he's inspired by Batman, but pretty obviously you'll notice that. And I thought about maybe doing the dating Catwoman trope and kind of giving Danny a little more, you know, I don't know, oomph, I guess, to him. But I just decided, like, as soon as I wrote Chapter 1, I was like, that doesn't really make sense for this character. That's not who he is. He's just like the teddy bear sunshine. So that's who the character turned out to be. And it worked really well from the beginning of the story all the way through. Danny maintained his personality, and it wasn't hard for me to write. I didn't struggle with that at all. I really enjoyed writing him as a character. He really kind of was just one of my favorites that have taken over, you know, for me. Like, some of my favorite characters include Devin from The Rookie and the Vet, and Clay from The Sergeant. So he's up there with one of my favorite characters. and for this story, I was just super excited to write it because I love superheroes, whether it's the MCU or the X-Men cartoon or the Batman animated series cartoon. Like, all those things are, you know, something that I've been, you know, watching and rewatching, you know, forever. So that was just, I got the idea to, let me write a superhero romance to just kind of bring my love to it, love for them to the genre. And that's how this story started. So yeah, that's all I have for chapter one. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I will see you back here next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.